some of yours in a little further. We're going to see who can drive the screws down the fastest. All right, and I'm even going to give you a head start. Ready? Go. Oh, is that not fair? Oh, here. Hold on. Hold on. Here's a driver for you. There's no power? There's no power. So I guess I win. Thank you, Christian. See, it doesn't matter what tool you have if there's no power behind it, does it? You need power. Thank you. He's a good sport, isn't he? Life is better when you have the right tools and the ability to power them. And this week we're talking about the power that we can have inside of us. A unique power that makes all of our tools work. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of what we call the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are distinctive, yet all three are one. The Trinity is hard to explain. And I can tell you, even in seminary, it's even more difficult to explain. And it's even hard to understand that God exists beyond time and space. God exists as one, and yet at the same time, he exists as three separate entities. Now, this isn't a perfect example, but I have different roles in my life, as most of us do. And we may play multiple roles throughout the day. So, for example, today I'm a pastor, a dad, and a husband. And in some ways, I'm still the same me. But in many ways, I act very distinctively different in each role. As a husband, I treat my wife differently than I do my kids as their father. My love for Carla, in many ways, is exactly the same as the boys, but in so many ways different, isn't it? Yet at the same time, I am still me. And if I can stand here in front of you as three separate people, Scott the pastor, Scott the husband, and Scott the father, yet all of them are still me. I'm still the same Scott. Then we must be able to accept that we have a God as one, yet three separate entities at the same time. Does that kind of make sense? It's hard to think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The same, yet different. And I think the reason that we have to explain the Holy Spirit is because too many of us have not experienced the Holy Spirit. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it needs no explanation because you really can't explain it. I think all too often, many people confuse spiritual moments with emotional ones. I think we can have emotional highs. I think, like, sometimes you've ever been on a retreat, especially back in the days when you maybe were with a youth group and you're around the fire and everybody's singing a song and you feel really enlightened and feel really great. But that was probably an emotional high. Emotional moments where we get to feel very close to the same feeling as the presence of the Holy Spirit. But you see, being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't supposed to be a moment in time. It is supposed to be a life-transforming experience that gives us the power to go and transform the world. And let me tell you, this week's sermon was a real battle. Because I can tell you, the devil doesn't like you talking about the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have everything about religion without the power of the religion. And he made sure this was a very busy and trying week for me. I could tell you all my circumstances, but let me just say that I had moments this week where he did everything to disconnect me from God. And I spent a lot of the week running on my power and not the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew where God wanted to lead me in the sermon, yet because I was caught up in all my problems this week, I just seemed to run into a tough wall, pulling it all together. It was a real spiritual battle. But I needed to do what I know I needed to do, and that was just let go and let the Holy Spirit do the work. I was trying to write my words, my thoughts, my things, and I needed to let go and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And I think most of us are really scared to let go. Isn't it hard to let go? Because I know, especially in the back row, there's a couple control freaks, and I'm not looking at them right now, but they know who they are. But it's hard to let go of control and let the Holy Spirit take over. You see, most of us, when we come to God, we want God to just do a light remodel on our lives. See, if our lives were a kitchen or a bathroom, we want the easy spruce-up remodel with God. All right, God, don't change too much, but maybe give me a good surface clean, a good paint job, maybe replace a couple broken appliances, and all right, maybe a couple cabinet fronts, but that's about it. But you see, what we really need is a complete gutting. We need to be torn down to the two befores. We all need new wiring. We need new plumbing. We need to get out the old stuff and bring in everything new. And you see, that's what real salvation does. When we come to Christ, when we come to God and repent and give Him and surrender our lives, real salvation guts us. It transforms us into something completely new. But you see, most of us want to hold on to our old selves or our old stuff because we don't want to pay the price, right? Because they tell you on the commercials, you can get a complete cabinet refacing for a fraction of the cost, right? We don't want to pay the price to do it right. We want it to look good, but we want it to be cheap, don't we? And we do the same thing with God. Hey, make my life look good, but don't really mess with the inside, okay? We don't need to change all that. But if you've got a plumbing problem, does it do any good to put in a brand new sink? You might have shiny faucet handles, but if the drain is bad, it's still bad, isn't it? We need a gutting. And we don't want to let go of things in our lives that keep us from experiencing the full power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do amazing things for us, yet we continue to live our lives on our own power. It's like what we did here at the beginning. Why do we live our lives working with a little screwdriver when we have a great power tool in the Holy Spirit? Why do we want to go through and on our own power do everything when we can let go and have the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul asked the same question in Galatians. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. See, when we repent, when we ask forgiveness, when we believe, we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is supposed to bring us to a new way of living through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you would read through the book of Acts, it repeatedly tells us of the great things the apostles and other people did once they received the Holy Spirit. And Peter went out and preached, and thousands were converted. You got to think about what Stephen did, or what Ananias did, what Paul did, what the church did. You see, they lived in the Spirit. And they experienced an untold number of miracles. And the church grew and grew and grew. And that same Holy Spirit that was at work in them is available to us today. But you see, living in the Spirit takes work. Living in the Spirit is the direct opposite to our sinful nature. We have to live a disciplined life of prayer. We have to be devoted to the Word. And we have to continually repent of our sins to remain filled with the Spirit. Because our sins push us away from God and away from the power of the Holy Spirit. You can say that we lose our charge. And some people even become so disconnected, it's like they took the battery out. See, we have to plug into God and get recharged. Because without the power, things can get ugly. In Galatians 5, he writes, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And tell me this doesn't define our society today. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty direct, isn't it? Paul says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Harsh words. Reality check. If you're not living with the power of the Holy Spirit, you might be in trouble. And then he continues on. He says, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, he says, this is what it should look like. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful natures to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples did receive the Holy Spirit. Immediately they were changed. They received gifts from the Holy Spirit, and the world was changed forever. People were healed. Thousands were made converts to Christianity. Peter was so powerful that when he walked by, his shadow cast on somebody who was sick and they were immediately healed. And we read these amazing feats in the Bible and we look at them the same way we look at Spider-Man and Superman. Sure, I would like to leap a tall building in a single bound, but I don't have superpowers. And we read the Bible like it's a comic book, things that we cannot attain. But we're not talking about fictitious superpowers. We are talking about real superpowers, Holy Spirit-given powers. I've heard many people say, and even some academics would say, that God only bestowed special powers on certain people like the apostles. Other people say, well, you know, God only works through certain saints, whether it's Mother Teresa or every once in a while you'll get a Billy Graham. We tell ourselves these special powers are something that an ordinary person cannot possess. But you see, that is just simply not true. Did you know that we are all given special powers by the Holy Spirit? Listen to how many times Paul tells us that we all get our gifts and power from the same Spirit. From 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as one body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. In verse 13 he says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Now I brought with me just some of my favorite things to work with. Some of you may recognize some of the tools, some of them you may not, I don't know. But you know what is in common with all of these tools? They all have a different purpose. This saw and this saw is not the same, right, Bob? This saw is not the same. This is a light, this is a drill, this is a driver. They all have different functions, they all have their purpose. But you know what? Not one of them is any good without this. They all have a different purpose. But without the power behind them, none of them are any good. You know, we could use just our human, ordinary gifts. Just like in the carpenter world, we have hand saws and hand screwdrivers. I mean, but look at this. This has got a Phillips bit, right? It can turn a screw. But this can turn a screw, right? Why would you go through life trying to live turning every screw on your own when you can have the power of God behind you? Why do you want to live your life without the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, when you put it in this context, I don't know how you can say, yeah, my life is good on my own. I don't need the Holy Spirit. And see, when you come to faith, God created you to be uniquely you from birth. And when you come to faith, the Holy Spirit says, I can take all of that and I can add the Holy Spirit and gift this person to do something unique. And while some of us may share similar gifts, not all of us have the same gift or intended purpose. But all of us need the right power to function as we are intended to. But we can't do it if we're not full of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to know why the church in the United States is in decline? While you can go over to parts of Asia and Africa and it's growing like a wildfire? Because they are living by the Holy Spirit and growing by the Holy Spirit. Our churches are dying and people are going from place to place to place looking for something. I don't know if this is the church for me. They don't have kids. I don't know if this is the church for me. They don't have contemporary music. I don't know if this is the church and they're looking. They don't even know what they're looking for. But I'm here to tell you, if they find a church that is full of the Holy Spirit and living according to the gifts, they're going to say, wow, that church has something that I need. And yet we as Christians, it's just like those tools. They have all got the same name on them, don't they? DeWalt. And they're all really nice tools, aren't they? Good tools. Useful tools. But they sit on the shelf, useless, without power. And some of us are living as powerless as tools without batteries. We claim to be Christians. We come and we sing and we do things. But we're doing it without the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to stop being casual Christians. It's time that we stop coming off the shelf just once a week. We need to be a follower of God every day. We need to be plugged in and charged by the Holy Spirit every day. Now we're going to run into problems. I ran into problems this week because I couldn't get the furnace filter out. And I said some things that weren't very godly. And when we start running on our power, not the power of God, our priorities get mixed up. We start living in ways and joining the ways of the world. We end up running on me power. We let ourselves take over. And before we know it, we're no longer producing the fruit that Paul told us about. You know that good fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? See, when we are filled with the Spirit and we are producing fruit, the world will take note. Jesus tells us in John 13:35, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Think about it. If we ran around this community filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and love for one another. Don't you think some people are going to say, that's what I'm looking for? It doesn't matter if the divide is economic. It doesn't matter if the divide is over race. It doesn't matter what the divide is over. We get angry over politics. We're divided over COVID. We're divided over this. We're divided over that. But it's kind of hard to be divided when we have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we need to ask ourselves some simple questions. Are we being casual Christians? Do we really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do we want to be filled with such a joy and a peace that it will carry us even through the hardest of times? And for some people, maybe you're realizing that I've been come to church and I'm not really a Christian. Maybe you've never made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, to turn to Him and repent of your sins. This is a step you need to take. And if this is something that you need to do, I'm not going to embarrass you and make you come up in front of everybody. But I'm going to encourage you to just see me after church and say, I need to talk. We need to talk. Because this is the kind of decision that depends on where you're going to spend eternity. Because like it or not, we're all going to live forever in one form or another. We're either going to live in the presence of Jesus Christ and His glory for eternity, or we're going to live in the absence of the presence of God in eternal torment. As I want to make it clear that being a Christian in name only, just saying that I'm a Christian or just saying I went to church, will not get you into heaven. It's only when you decide to surrender and follow Christ that you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit and have the assurance of that eternal life. And I can tell you as a follower of Christ that there's going to be times where you have periods in your life when you're not really living it out like you're supposed to. Because it is a real battle. That's why Paul says every day, put on your spiritual armor. And perhaps today is the day that maybe once you were close to God, but you've allowed all this clutter to come into your life and things to become priority over your faith. And it's time we clear that clutter out and we open ourselves up to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the process can begin with a simple prayer of repentance. And if you're struggling in your spiritual life and if you're feeling disconnected, that's what I'm here for. I am here to help you in your spiritual growth, in your spiritual development. This is not a journey to be made alone. That's why Paul told us we're a body. We're to work together to lift and love and care for one another. Paul says if one part of the body hurts, the whole thing hurts. And if anybody's ever had a bad tooth, you know that, right? If your tooth hurts, your whole body hurts, doesn't it? If you hit that pinky toe coming down the stairs, your whole body hurts, doesn't it? We need to pull together and love together, grow together. And I've been preaching this for over a year now. That if you are willing to claim this gift, if you are willing to grow in the Spirit, I promise you God is going to do great and amazing things through this church. Some of you have the gift of healing and you don't even know it. Some of you have a gift of discernment and you don't even know it. Some of you have a gift of service and you're holding back. And just like we had our group up here in front of us today, if your gift is administration and you're good at putting numbers together, that's a gift. We can use you. If your gift is collecting things and helping homeless people, if your gift is prayer, if your gift is writing cards, if your gift is just calling people and being present with them, then that's your gift. But we all got to come together using our gifts for the glory of God. And if you are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, I promise you God will change it. And I promise you that when your life changes, your life will change somebody else's life. Because you have the power to change people through the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. It's through the Holy Spirit. He is the agent of change that can work through you to do things you think were impossible to do. Let us come together in a moment of prayer. This might be an awkward moment for you, but we're going to sit silently for just a few seconds. Because I know in some people's hearts that Holy Spirit is knocking, talking. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is the Holy Spirit calling you to repent? Is the Holy Spirit saying it's time you joined in? It's time you used your gifts? It's time you surrendered to me? Heavenly Father, we know you are present among us through your Holy Spirit. And so often we allow the world to distract us, Lord, and we're no longer tuned into you. We never get truly plugged in and we never get fully recharged. But Lord, here today I ask that your Holy Spirit convince, correct, rebuke, forgive, heal, restore, whatever it is in the needs of the hearts of the people here today, that they may be touched, that they may feel your presence. Give them the assurance that no matter how you are speaking to them, it is out of love. Is that as your desire to get ever closer to them and how much of a relationship you want to have? Lord, continue to lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to become new. Let us lead lives that are empowered by your Holy Spirit. And let us do great and wonderful things that glorify you and that lead other people to the knowledge of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. This we ask and pray through you, the Father, through your Son, and through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes that message sits well with you. And you're like, yes. And sometimes you leave here going, why was he pointing? But I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm using the gift that God has given me to bring his word to you so that you can leave here each and every week filled with the Holy Spirit. That you can leave here more powerful than when you came. That you can learn to live and dwell in that power each and every week. Because some weeks are going to be hard and it's going to take it out of you. You need to come and get some love, some nourishment, some encouragement. And just like our kids, sometimes we need some correction, don't we? But together, we become one. And together we can all grow in Christ. And together we can change and transform not only the people of this church, but the people of this community. And as Jesus said, the people of the world. If we can get people excited over a football game, why can't we get people excited over the Holy Spirit? Because when we start singing the praises of what Jesus Christ does in our lives, people will start to pay attention. When we tell them about that great thing he did in our life, about the healing, about the growth, about the love, about the strength, about the peace, people will start to say, that sounds good to me. Let me leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with a hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.